Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we welcome in on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline none other than esteemed author, commentator, really a golf expert, and even has a new book out, a piece of fiction called The Prodigy. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but John Feinstein joins us on the hotline. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, it's good to have you on, so we're going to do what every hack radio show did in the country on Monday morning, and now we'll do it with you because we're not better than any of them. Is Tiger back?
No, and I'm probably in the minority saying that, except that one person who I think would agree with me is Tiger Woods, because for him, being back means winning a major championship. Is he back to being a very good player? Yes, no question. He had an amazing year, especially for somebody who's had seven surgeries and is 42 years old and couldn't swing a club a little bit more than a year ago. But if you're going to say, is he back to where he would like to be ultimately? No, he won't be back until and unless he wins a major championship. Has he come a long way toward that goal? Absolutely. Was Sunday a great day in his life? I don't doubt it for a second. And to me, that's kind of the coolest thing about this, that years ago, I'm not sure he appreciated his greatness. I'm not sure he enjoyed it. You know, he had his father constantly pushing him, saying, you got to do more, you got to do more, you got to do more. Now, having been through what he's been through with the injuries, having been through what he's been through self-inflicted in his personal life, I think he has an appreciation for any success, and Sunday was certainly a success.
Well, John, just judging by the smiles, this is a guy that had dominated and been a robot, didn't seem to care about fans' reaction, and yet on that scene on 18, in which a lot of people across the country turned over from NFL football in week three to watch a golf event they probably didn't even know existed a year ago, it seemed different.
Yeah, no, I think it was. That's sort of the point I'm making. And you mentioned before we got on air the Golf World column I wrote earlier this week, and I told a story in that column about the 2000 U.S. Open, which was arguably his most dominant performance among many, when he won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. And Trey Holland was president of the U.S. Golf Association that year and thus was the walking rules official with the last group. And on the second hole that day, Tiger asked for a drop, and Trey Holland told him he wasn't entitled to one. Probably cost him a stroke. And when they got to 18, and Tiger pulled out to win by 15, Trey Holland walked over, shook his hand, and said, that was the most amazing performance I think I've ever seen on a golf course. And Tiger's answer was, I wish you'd given me that drop on number two. That was Tiger Woods back then, you know, wins by 15 shots, and he still wanted to win by 16. Now, I think he still wants to get better. I don't think that competitiveness is gone, but I think he is more able to appreciate how cool it is that he's able to play, that he's been healthy all year, that he's playing well. And you mentioned the thing about the fans. I think he always took that for granted. You know, I'm great. I'm Tiger Woods. Of course people should love me. Now he understands that he's made some real serious mistakes in his life, and it appears that most golf fans have forgiven him for that, and he is appreciative.
How bothered is he that he's still at 14 in terms of majors?
Well, I think that's a two-sided. It's a good question. It's a two-sided question. On the one hand, I'm sure it bothers the hell out of him that he hasn't won a major for 10 years. I mean, when he won that U.S. Open on the broken leg in 2008, I think most of us assumed that 18 was a given, and the only question was when and how far past 18 would he go, and I'm sure he felt that way too. Then everything started to happen, the injuries, the quote-unquote accident on Thanksgiving night, and so it wasn't a given anymore. So on the one hand, I'm sure it bothers him. I'm sure he looks back and realizes he made a mistake years ago firing Butch Harmon. He's made mistakes away from the course. The injuries, of course, are out of his control. But now I'm sure he looks at it and says, hey, I'm still playing. I still have a chance to maybe win a 15th. I might not get to 18, but I might get to 15. And that's a lot better than where he was a year or two ago.
Joined by John Feinstein on the hotline, author of the recent book, The Prodigy, a fiction piece that is set at Augusta, the holiest of golfing grounds here in the States. John, I got to ask, because so many people have said, I'm done with Tiger. And then others have said, well, you know what? I'm rooting for him again, because here in America, we love an underdog story unlike anywhere else in the world. With that said, are you buying this story of redemption and a warmer, fuzzier Tiger Woods?
I'm not going to go so far as to say warmer and fuzzier. And I don't think people ultimately change. I mean, Tiger was raised by his father to believe that, you know, life is about winning golf tournaments, making money, taking care of yourself, not worrying about anybody else, and everybody in the locker room is your opponent. Now, has that changed? I would say no. But has it evolved? I would say yes. Phil Mickelson, when I was researching the first major, made the point to me that when Earl died in 2006, you could slowly see a change in Tiger. He didn't have his father looking over his shoulder all the time saying, they're the enemy. You don't become friends with them, even when you're teammates during a Ryder Cup week. And that kind of led to, A, Tiger enjoying the Ryder Cup more, and B, 2016, when everybody on that American team told me that Tiger was as emotionally invested in winning that Ryder Cup at Hazeltine as anybody who was there. That's a 180 from where he was back in 2006 when somebody asked him why his Ryder Cup record wasn't better, and he kind of sneered and said, well, what was Jack's Ryder Cup record? As in, nobody really cares. So has he evolved? Yes. Has he changed? I doubt it. You know, a lot of my media colleagues who have been, in many cases, I think, over the top about all of this, have talked about how he's friendlier. But look at his quotes. Is he saying anything interesting other than saying, you know, there was a time when I didn't know if I'd be able to play again? Has he said anything interesting about his life, about how he's changed, about what he thought about his divorce, whatever it might be? No, is the answer. And again, I respect everything he's done in making this comeback. I think it is remarkable to have done what he's done on the golf course. But I'm not buying into the, you know, as you would say, warm and fuzzy Tiger Woods. I think he's less cold. Let's put it that way. But I don't think we're at warm.
And I know, John, over the years, there's been so many people that he has basically severed ties with in his life that have been a part of his life. Agents, money men, swing coaches, all these individuals. Do you think any of them wished him a congratulations text? I know it's hard to know, but I wonder if these people are ready to jump on the Tiger bandwagon like some of these fans are.
Well, knowing Butch Harmon as I do, I would bet he did send some kind of text or congratulations, because as Butch likes to say, he's been fired by enough guys through his career that he it's kind of hard for him to have hard feelings toward him. He looks at being a swing coach at that level as sort of like the way you look at a Major League Baseball manager. There's two kinds. One that's hired and one that's fired. Butch has been both and has done extremely well through the years. So I wouldn't be surprised if Butch Harmon sent him a congratulatory text. I don't know about Hank Haney. Hank Haney made a lot of money writing a book about his time with Tiger. He should be grateful for that. But you're right. Tiger has definitely severed ties with a lot of people in his life. And, again, I think that all gets back to Earl. A lot of people say to me, you know, do you dislike Tiger? And my honest answer is, I don't think I know Tiger well enough. I don't think anybody does. And I've spent probably more time with him one-on-one than anybody else in the print media through the years. But I would never claim to know Tiger Woods well enough to like or dislike him. But I do feel sorry for him, because I believe that the way his father raised him made it almost impossible for him to be happy and enjoy his success. The interesting thing is, I've said this often, the two of the most successful people I've ever dealt with were Bob Knight and Tiger Woods, and they're two of the most unhappy people I've ever dealt with.
That's very true. John Feinstein joining us on the show. What are the chances that the U.S. wins the Ryder Cup, friend?
Good. I'm not like some people who say it's a lock because they look at world rankings and stuff like that, which mean nothing in the Ryder Cup, as the Europeans have proved time and again through the years. Home course advantage is huge, not just because you've got the fans on your side, but because of the golf course setup. Remember, the captain controls the setup, the home captain of the golf course. That's why Hazeltine had wide fairways, low rough, and fast greens, because Davis Love knew that was an advantage for his players. Thomas Bjorn will have the golf course in Paris set up with narrow fairways, high rough, and slow greens, because that is to his players' advantage. Europe has five rookies. Even playing at home, five rookies on a Ryder Cup team is a lot. The U.S. has three. But I think that the U.S.'s experience, Furyk wanted an experienced team on the road, will play to its benefit. But, again, on the road, there's a reason why the U.S. hasn't won on the road since 1993. There are a bunch of reasons. But I think it's a toss-up. I think a lot of it will depend on how some of the older players who have not played well lately on each side play. Can Sergio Garcia be better than he was this summer? Can Henrik Stenson be better than he's been this year? For the U.S., can Phil Mickelson find his game? I mean, with all the hoopla over Tiger, nobody noticed that Phil finished 24 shots behind in Atlanta. And he won in Mexico earlier this year, but really hasn't broken an egg since then. So, and Phil's an important part of the team, not only on the golf course, but in the team room. So, some of the older players who have not been playing well do when they step to the plate on Friday will go a long way towards deciding who wins this thing.
John Feinstein, author, you got to go out and get it. The Prodigy, a fiction book. It's set at the Masters. Final few thoughts here. Is it bad that in this world of golf where it's stodgy, all button up, the old rules of golf in play, that someone like me loves the fact that the USA is going to have to contend with some of the European fans who are going to be bellowing and shouting and maybe saying some things that aren't so nice?
Well, look, the Ryder Cup is unique. And I was at Hazeltine, and I was out on the golf course all 3 days for long periods of time. Jordan Spieth, I thought, very accurately referred to the fans who misbehaved as the one percenters. Because out of 55,000 people, you might have had 500 who misbehaved during the course of the week. That said, those one percenters were way over the line, way over the line. I mean, there was a moment on Saturday where I was walking with Rory McIlroy, and a fan was being so right up against the ropes, was being so profane that Rory said, quote, "I almost went over the ropes after him." That would not have been good. But the European fans are boisterous. They get into it. They sing. They're loud. But history says that the worst moments, unfortunately, we've had were 91 at Kiowa, 99 at the Country Club, and 16 at Hazeltine. I don't think there will be major problems, because I think the other thing is the European players, much as the American players tried to do at Hazeltine, if the crowd starts to get out of hand, they'll stop it. And the players on both sides are very conscious of that. And Rory McIlroy made a point after Hazeltine to me that maybe we've come to a time where you don't want to start selling beer at a Ryder Cup at 8 in the morning. Which they do. Maybe they should wait until 4 in the afternoon when the matches are almost over.
John Feinstein, he is a writer. You know who he is. He is an author. You certainly know who he is. He has a new book, a fiction book, The Prodigy, set at the Masters. This is your first fiction, right? I got to squeeze it in before we let you go, John. Just tell me something about it pretty quick if you can.
Well, it's my first golf fiction. I've written a bunch of other young adult books. This is more of a tweener. It's for adults and kids, I hope. It's about a 17-year-old kid who has a chance to win the Masters. And like a lot of young stars, he's being tugged in many directions by his father, who, to quote one of the other characters, aspires to be Earl Woods, by agents, by shoe company reps. There is, of course, a heroic reporter involved. and it all comes down to Sunday. And a lot of real people appear. Rory appears, Zach Johnson, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, anybody else you want to name. So I call it faction because I've been to the Masters 27 times. I think I can write pretty accurately about what it's like there, although clearly the story itself is fictional. It was a lot of fun to do, and it does have a surprise ending, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you are our heroic reporter, John. Thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.